We are back for part two with Kenzie Evans talking about stress and how it affects our bodies. With real life examples and ways to minimize shame, you're not going to want to miss it today. So let's get to it. Hey parents, welcome to Fulfillment Therapy. Do you want to raise your kids better and have a stronger marriage? Are you up late at night researching marriage and parenting tools and self-care tips? Do you start each day hoping for deeper connections and less chaos, but it ends with family arguments and going 12 different directions again? My name's Kendra, wife, mom, therapist, and growth enthusiast. It wasn't until I discovered how to fulfill my unmet needs that I was finally able to show up as my best self, as a spouse and parent. I realized that by meeting my needs, I could more fully meet the needs of my family with more energy and less resentment. In this podcast, I teach parents skills like boundary setting, prioritizing personal needs, communication, and claiming ownership. Just like my clients, you'll be shocked by the improvement in your marriage, parenting, and personal life when you focus on fulfilling your important, unmet needs. Ready to prioritize yourself so you can quit mentally throat-punching people? Then grab those earbuds and head outside, and let's rock and talk. I just want to start with this visual of a ladder, and I'll have a link in the show notes as well for a little breakdown of all of this so you can visualize it a little bit better. But imagine a ladder, and one of those top rungs is the ventral vagal. So it's the top one. This is where where you feel safe, where you're social, where you're connecting and feeling playful or joyful, and especially you have that empathy. So this is like a higher living, and you know, I like fulfillment. I'm thinking about Maslow's hierarchy again. And this is probably more towards the top of the pyramid of fulfillment and connection and joy. And you're living this higher life. Now, in the middle is the sympathetic part. And this is where you talked about, Kenzie, the fight or flight. This is where adrenaline comes in. And this is the action state. So if you're feeling anxious or hyperactive or jittery or all of these things, there's a lot of tension in your body. This is this stage of it. And then the bottom of it, the dorsal vagal, that's where you shut down or you're disconnected and you have low energy. This is where you might feel hopeless, which you kind of mentioned times feeling a little bit foggy or alone. Mm-hmm. This is different ways you can say it. Like you feel like you're trudging through mud or you're at the bottom of a well or even playing possum, you know, where you're kind of like you go inward. And this is when you're unable to act often, like this is beyond your ability to fix at times. And there's a lot of shame and it's very difficult to self-motivate. So all of those things signify that you are in that bottom tier or that dorsal vagal part of things.
We're in the brainstem here, right? Like this is the vagal nerve that resides in the brainstem. And so all of these things happen automatically. Right. And so the top one is our parasympathetic, where we're feeling regulated. I like that word, like we're feeling at ease, right? And then the other ones, the middle and lower tier, are the ones where we're dysregulated, right? And our body is in a state of stress, which, like you're saying, to remove the shame, like the work that I've had to really work on is, again, remember these things are automatic. So it's not something that if you go into one of these states, these lower states, it's something that you're choosing consciously or that you have complete control over. It's your brain and your body trying to protect you. It is evolutionary, right? And it's in our most basic part of our brain. And I feel like that is so important to remember and know to remove the shame. Like these things just happen automatically. And the more that you can see it in your body, removing the shame is going to help you to gain that awareness. But if you feel ashamed, your body and your brain is going to try to hide it from you and keep you from seeing it. But if you come and give yourself love and empathy and compassion, when you have entered those states, like, okay, why did this happen? What was my body trying to tell me when I went into fight mode, when I went into flight mode, when I went into shutdown? What is going on for me right now that my body feels unsafe and is putting me into this state? And that's how you gain awareness, right?
Absolutely.
Is by removing the shame and being curious about why you've entered these states.
I know, Kenzie, for me, sometimes when people are explaining concepts that are a little bit hard for me to conceptualize, it helps to have some examples. So I have a couple of examples. While I'm sharing those, if you wouldn't mind seeing if you can come up with a few yourself to help our listeners be like, okay, yeah, I think I get this. For example, let's just start with fight or flight. So this is, again, when you feel a lot of tension in your body, feel anxious or hyperactive, more of that action, that adrenaline. You want to fight or you want to run. The first thing that came to mind when I was thinking about this was arguments with my spouse, or even when there's a lot of contention or anger in my home growing up with my stepdad. And I often remember that, feeling my heart rate rise and feeling like I needed to run away really quickly because it felt scary or overwhelming. But that was happening without me even recognizing it. Often I would first, and this is key here, I would first recognize my accelerated heart rate before I even realized I was upset. So that's one example for just fight or flight. Do you have an example for that?
Okay, actually, so this is something that I've been really working on in myself, so I can give lots of examples. So I actually wrote this out a few months ago of how this shows up in my body. So with fight, they're different, right? You have fight response and flight response. You are talking about flight because you wanted to get out of there,
right?
So when you're in fight mode, you're facing the danger, right? So this can look like rigidness in your body. Your muscles are tensing. You can see it in your face. It's contorting in anger. You are ready to attack, right? That is fight mode. So for me, I tend to go into fight mode with people I'm more comfortable with, that I feel safer with,
right?
Because they feel like my equal. Now, if it comes to someone, I was always in flight mode with my parents, even my siblings. Like so I would want to flee. I'd want to get out of there, right? So what I've written down for myself to help me recognize and distinguish between fight mode, flight mode, and then freeze is, in fight mode, the emotions that I feel are anger, frustration, disgust, embarrassment, fear. And you can make your own list, but usually it's those ones, those things that are like, make me want to lash out. And then how it feels in my body is I feel rigidity in my muscles. I start like tensing up. You can feel it in your face. I usually clench my jaw together, and even my eyes might, like, my eyebrows might go down. You know, that classic angry face?
Yeah.
You can feel that. And then with your heart rate, you can feel your heart rate increase, your blood pressure rise. You can maybe even hear the blood rushing in your ears and feel the pulse of your heartbeat in your hands, in your neck, in your head. You might get hot and flushed. I notice that, like, my neck will get flushed, my ears turn bright red. You may feel on edge, jumpy or trembly. Your hands and voice might be shaky. And the rest of the world, you might get tunnel vision, where you're focusing solely on this person who feels like an enemy to you in this moment, right? You know, they're not consciously, but subconsciously, your body is focusing in on the danger. Behaviorally, this might look like you're making yourself bigger in your posture. Your shoulders might hunch up. You might, like, you can think of a cat, like when they fluff up their hair and arch their back, you're making yourself bigger. You might start yelling, making your voice louder. It might look physically aggressive. You might lean toward people and, like, become more aggressive, right? Your body language is speaking aggression. You might hit or punch or kick things, the couch, the wall, whatever it may be, right? So that's something that it might look like behaviorally. Thoughts you might have will be defensive and blaming and demeaning, maybe sarcastic or critical of others. So it can look like, who do they think they are? I would never. What do they know? Maybe there are other thoughts that people can add, but they are defensive in nature. They're focused on the other person lots of the time. So that was fight mode for me. For me, flight looks like emotions are anxiety, humiliation, overwhelm, panic, terror. And that shows up in my body. The body sensations are similar to fight, but it's instead of like taking on the danger, you're trying to get away from it. So you might feel the rigidness in your muscles, but it's not to engage with the person that you feel is dangerous, but to get away from them. You want to spring into action and get out of the situation. Jumpy, easily startled or on edge. You can notice your heart rate and blood pressure rising, same as in flight, so that you can run faster. I get flushed a lot of times. So my neck, my face, my ears might feel red and hot. I might feel trembly or shaky. When I'm in flight mode, my hands are often very trembly and shaky and cold because my blood is flowing to the most important organs of my body. And your breathing may become more shallow and quick so that you can get more oxygen into your lungs so that it can fuel your brain so that you can act. You might have nausea or upset stomach because when you're about to flee, lots of times, as far as evolutionary, it helps you to get rid of the contents in your stomach so that you can run more effectively. Behaviorally, this might look like you are frenzied or frantic. You may get your panic attacks at this time, and you may lash out toward people because you're wanting to get away and push people away. You may be dismissive or emotional and abrupt in your interactions. You might say hurtful things to push people away from you. Thoughts that I've noticed in myself are, I don't want to be here. How can I make this stop? They don't care about me and they don't want to understand me. So it starts to focus more into myself, but it still very much has a me versus them mentality, right? And then when it comes to freeze, my emotions look more like overwhelm, depression, worthlessness, powerlessness. And my bodily sensations show up as exhaustion, fatigue. And what's so interesting to me as I've been learning about this is that, again, this is not in your control. Your brain will release chemicals that actually induce exhaustion and fatigue because it's trying to put you in a freeze response. It's trying to protect you, although it does not feel like that, because this is your last mode of response, right? It's telling you that you can't run away, you can't fight a predator, so you need to freeze and play dead, right? Right. So your muscles may feel heavy and fatigued. Your face and eyes may feel droopy and limp. And you may just feel this overwhelming heaviness. As far as behaviorally, I oftentimes feel apathetic or disinterested toward life and my relationships and my interests. It can look like sleeping for long hours and lacking motivation to get up. It can look like numbing through food, technology, or other things. It can also look like not wanting to leave your house or your room. And my thoughts often look like, I can't do this. What's the point? Why does this even matter? I don't even matter. Things like that. And that's been really helpful for me to differentiate between fight mode, flight mode, and freeze mode, because they show up very differently. So your thoughts are going to look different when you're in each of these modes. And I think lots of times for people, it's easier for them to recognize the thoughts than the body sensations almost, because in lots of ways we've taught and trained ourselves to disconnect from our bodies, right? So it's like recognizing your heart rate is not normal. Lots of people are not as connected to their bodies to begin to notice that. But if you can begin to notice I don't want to be here. What's the point? I feel so overwhelmed. I can't do this. If you can start to notice that, you can go, oh, okay. I'm not a bad person. I'm not lazy. I'm not this. What is happening? I'm going into freeze mode. Why am I going into freeze mode? Why is this showing up right now? Oh, I feel overwhelmed. I have all of these tasks. Here's an example from my life around freeze mode. I tend to go into freeze mode a lot of times because I think as a child, I felt powerless, right? As children, we are often at the whim of adults. And so if we feel like we can't take ownership and make changes, then I think that a lot of times children will go into freeze mode. And so for me, I started school last year. I was doing full-time school and I had a lot on my plate. So I was doing that. And then I had my kids. And I remember in the first few weeks of school starting, my body was starting to shut down. I started to notice that behavior of feeling extremely exhausted and heavy and weighed down. And it was hard for me to get up, but I had to get up because of school. And I started to notice, oh, this is showing up in me. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm telling myself I can't do this, that school is too much, that why did I think I could do this? You know, those thought patterns. And I was able to see how it was showing up in my body too. My muscles were heavy and tired. And just being able to gain that awareness, I was able to get out of it a lot faster, but I had to be kind and gentle to myself because just having that awareness doesn't change it automatically. So for me, it was, okay, this is overwhelming. This is a lot that I'm taking on. You do need some rest. You do need to take care of yourself. It is validating my experience rather than, Kinsey, why can't you get with it? It's not that bad, right? The toxic positivity of, it could be worse. You're so blessed to be having this experience. You are so lucky. So many people would want to be in your situation, in your shoes. So why aren't you just embracing this amazing experience? No, it was a lot of, oh, yes, I hear you. Oh, yes. Absolutely. You know, and being kind. And so there are different ways that this shows up. And I definitely have examples for fight and we too, if you want to hear those, but I just wanted to break that down because I do think like my husband tends to go into fight mode and I tend to go into flight or freeze. And so recognizing that in ourselves and removing the shame when it does show up is so important. And then making repair because it does show up. So it's not about doing this perfectly. You're not gaining awareness around these things to avoid it happening. No, it's going to happen and we're going to make mistakes as we practice gaining awareness. So when you gain awareness, making repair, because that's what we can do, right? Until we have better awareness around how this shows up in our conflicts, in our relationships. And that is how we will be able to get better at this. Is by removing the shame, being kind to ourselves. And then if we do make mistakes, letting go of our ego and making repair.
Yeah, definitely. You shared so many things that really helped break it down more. I really appreciate that. And I'm actually going to really briefly kind of summarize some of the things that you said to help cement that in the brain. Let's talk about fight first. I like how you said my husband tends to do this more because I've noticed the examples I gave for fight or flight that you're right. They're both flight because fight is not a natural response for me. So it's not one that I typically do. Now I can think of one example. One time I had this really aggressive neighbor. He obviously had a lot of PTSD going on. He was in the military, but he followed me and he kept revving his engine behind me. And then he pulled up to my house. And at that point I went to mama bear mode. And I got like big time fight mode and there was like pounding on my door and he had already been following me and revving his engine. He had like verbally kind of attacked me in a sense. And at that point, like I stopped going into flight mode and I was like, oh, you are in my territory. My children are home. I am going to Well, I didn't know what I was going to do, but I was ready to fight. And all of those things. So you mentioned this too, that tight jaw or that grinding your teeth. I had the strong urge to just like punch something or maybe kick. You have that flooded body. And that for me, I had that sensation that I noticed afterwards in the pit of my stomach. And I'm just ready to attack. Like at all costs, I am ready to protect my children. And I think especially for mothers, that's when they noticed it the most. It comes out very aggressively, like literally like a mother bear when children are threatened. So that's what fight could look like. That's obviously an extreme example. But then let's talk a little bit. Well, before we go into that fight, you said this is when you get defensive or you mentioned tone or volume. These can be elevated. Just think of any contention you might have. You're like, you know what that looks like. And or sarcastic, other focus, just bigger. Everything's like forward. You mentioned that too, right. Leaning forward. And then flight mode is more when you have that excessive movement or feeling trapped or tense or restless, maybe numbness in your limbs, darting eyes. You mentioned panic or terror or flee, feeling startled or even flushed for this one. And I noticed as you were talking about this, there was a time when I felt really jittery or anxious in public speaking. So I would have those cold, clammy hands. And I noticed my chest, if I had a V-neck shirt, it was very splotchy everywhere. I just felt like really intense and jittery. And like, I also start to shake. I literally start to shake. And sometimes like I have the chills and it looks like I'm cold. Like I'll just shake and, you know, just get really flooded that way. So that's flight. And then the last one, freeze. There's several elements to this. So depression, worthlessness, powerlessness, no control, almost like this hibernating. And you mentioned, I can't do this. Just feeling that way. And this can also look like shock sometimes. It doesn't always have to. I think there's varying levels of this, but I've shared these examples in other episodes. The two that I always think about is when my infant daughter stopped breathing for 4 minutes, I very much had a lot of these symptoms, like a sense of dread, pale skin, stiffness, coldness, numbness, a pounding heart. And then that can also decrease that heart rate. I felt like I was in a tunnel or far away, like I was removed, like I had to dissociate. I don't know if you've ever experienced times when you're dissociating. But then another time, same thing, when my son pulled a candle onto his face, the wax went all over. And I thought that he was scarred because I had a previous child, really terrible burns. And I thought the same thing was going to happen to him all over his face. So same thing, like I completely dissociated. It was like that animal brain was taking over. I couldn't engage. I completely shut down. Now, those are extreme examples. There's less intense examples of what freeze looks like. You guys, I just couldn't stop. It was so good, as always, with Kenzie. So there will be a part 3 this time. We usually keep it to 2, but sometimes it's just that good. Stay tuned next time for the final part as we talk about ANS and how we can better understand our bodies shame-free as we learn how to manage stress. Until then. Hey friends, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, chances are someone else would too. Would you take 30 seconds to share this with a friend who's looking for greater family fulfillment? And while you're sharing, tell me what you think about the show by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. It refuels me when I hear this podcast is helping you, no matter what your house or your hair looks like. I'll meet you back here every Monday and Thursday morning for more episodes. Until then.